loves us that much. Amen. That he cares about us that much. You know, and it's timely. What we're going to talk about tonight has to do with missions. And I think that's so neat and timely because next month, going into October, is Missions Month. And we're preparing for missions conference. We have missionaries next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we have a missionary. And as we have these missionaries come and we're preparing for missions conference, you know, my prayer is that we have this heart, this passion, like we're going to talk about tonight. So I thank the Lord that he gave this to us. So you're in Acts 11. Let's begin reading in verse 27. I'll read out loud as you follow along. 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Father, we pray one more time for your blessings. Please, we acknowledge that we need you. And God, it's all about you, and we just want to be vessels for you. And so I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Use the message to change us to be more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in third grade, Miss Donna Kosher came to my house and knocked on the door. And I didn't know who she was. And I had ridden the church bus before at other churches, but we had just moved to town. And I was just getting ready to start third grade in the school where we lived, the public school there close to where we lived. And on a Saturday in the summer, Miss Donna knocked on our door and introduced herself to my stepmother and said to her name and that she was part of Southwest Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City. And they drove a bus through this area and they picked kids up to take them to church and asked my stepmom if there was anyone in the house, as I'm kind of peering behind her leg, if there was anyone who would in the house that maybe would like to ride the church bus. And my stepmom spoke up for me and for all of my siblings in the house and said, absolutely. And we have four, and myself and my three siblings, and they would love to ride the church. But she didn't ask me, you know, if I wanted to start riding the bus to church. But, you know, she knew that I wanted that. So the next morning, that would have been a Saturday. The next morning, for the first time, bus number one, this big white bus showed up in front of our house. It was funny because I remember, you know, through the years as I was riding the bus to church, they would start honking the horn at the beginning of the block. And I always wondered why they did that. And the bus driver, he was so ornery. He's like, you know what? All these people need to be in church. And so he would start honking the bus horn on his way to get to our house. But you could hear that horn from my house. So I thought, the bus is on its way. And we, you know, we'd be at the door ready to go to get on the bus. And the bus would show up and we'd run out there. We'd hop on the bus. I didn't always have the right attitude when I rode the church bus. But I was there routinely. I remember it was about a year later, Miss Donna stopped over to the house on a Saturday and to talk to my stepmom again, and she said this. She said, you know, this summer we're going to be taking a load of kids to junior camp this summer, and we were wondering if maybe some of the kids in your house would like to go to camp. And we have people in the church who sponsor the kids to go to camp. And so that means just God's people in the church gave the finances so that these bus kids could ride the bus. And I was one of those bus kids. Now, I didn't know what church camp was, but, you know, it was an opportunity for me to not be at home for a whole week. You know, so we meaning my family, stepmom, she's like, yes, we would love to do that. You know, so, you know, here I am. I'm on my way to church camp. Didn't know where I was going or really what this was going to be about. I was nervous about it. I wasn't all that excited about it because I didn't know what it was. Until we got there and all the activities and all the food, I'm telling you, we ate three times a day. And it was all you could eat. And I was the first one in line every day. Of course, it's junior camp. All the boys are first one in line at junior camp. And church service is over and it's lunchtime. We're sprinting to the, you know, to the chow hall because we want to be first in line. And I just remembered having such a tremendous time. So that we came to the next year, Miss Donna didn't come to me. Summer was approaching, and I approached Miss Donna. And I said, is there any chance you'll be taking the kids to camp again this year? She said, well, as a matter of fact, we are. And I said, I'd sure love to go. And you know, Miss Donna paid for my way to go to camp. And I remember when I was in Bible college, and Miss Donna came up to me, and we rejoiced together about what God did in my life as a bus kid and how God used her to bring me through those years and all the various things that God did to bring me to the place where I was. And so her and I rejoiced together about that. And the spirit that she had, note this, was the heart and the spirit of a missions-minded church. Now, when you think about somebody who's a missions-minded church, we're thinking about somebody like Miss Donna, who's not thinking about herself, but thinking about ministering to the people around her. And that was the heart of the people in Antioch. They loved not just their church, but they loved the work of the ministry. And they wanted not just their church to thrive, but they wanted to take care and satisfy the needs of the other churches when there was needs there. I want you to see that. Take a look with me in verse number 27. Maybe turn this down just a little bit, Grant. Verse 27, it says, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood upon one of them, there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So there's a famine that's coming. And Agabus would have been a prophet or a man that was used of God to deliver the message or the warning about this coming famine. So he had a burden. Agabus would have learned, he would have received this message from God. There's a famine coming, and he would have been burdened for the churches in the region to know about this coming famine. So he went on a circuit from Jerusalem, and he began to go, no doubt, to regions thereabout to deliver the message and the warning about this coming famine. You know, I want you to think about that with me for a minute. Isn't that not the heart of a missionary? Now, I'm not here to say that what he was doing was delivering the message of the gospel like Paul and Barnabas would do in chapter 13. But what he's doing is he's received a message from God, and now he, with a burden in his heart, is taking that message and he's delivering it by to other churches and to other believers by warning them about this coming famine. And so we think, right here we see the heart, really the heart of a missionary. And we can pause right there and praise God for missionaries who have this kind of a heart, who have a heart to surrender their life, to quit their job, to sell all of their things and go to a foreign field so they can tell people about Christ, to take God's message to the lost. And that's what missions is all about, that kind of a spirit right there. And when God calls somebody to be a missionary, he calls them from a context just like this one. So there might be somebody here tonight that along the way you're going to hear messages from God, and God's going to work in your heart. And as he's working in your heart, he's going to be pricking you, calling you, speaking to you, telling you he wants you to become a messenger of his gospel, whether it's to be a pastor or to be a missionary, to be in the ministry, to deliver the message that he has for you to the people he wants you to deliver it to. And we need to be willing to surrender to that call. I mean, if we don't have people surrendering to be missionaries and pastors in churches like this one, then at some point along the way, the ministry is going to begin to die away. And so we need to encourage our young people, and not just young people, but old people alike. Right, Brother Chris? Encourage our people to be to be open to surrender, to be open to the call of God in their life so that they might be used of the Lord to deliver that message. And by the way, it's an honor to do this. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. And each and every time somebody hears the gospel and a soul is saved, you know, it's not like we did that, but along the way, God uses us to do that. uses us to be a messenger. And so that would have been the burden, and we can see the heart of a missionary here with Agabus. But here's what I want you to see. When he delivered this message, he spoke of a famine. And what's amazing is the church wasn't just thinking about their own needs. The church in Antioch weren't just thinking about how this famine would have affected them financially, or how it would have affected them in their resources. Maybe they would have lost some agriculture or something that would have been, you know, an important part of their living. And, you know, there could have been a burden there. But we don't see that communicated in this passage. What we see is a burden that the church in Antioch had for the church in Jerusalem. And they were burdened for the believers in an entirely different city. Look at verse number 29. It says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which were at Judea," or in Judea. And so these disciples, they let their heart be stirred by God to see and be burdened for the needs of the people that were, the Christians that were in Judea, in the Jerusalem church. And so because they were stirred with compassion, the Bible says that they took up an offering so that they could send relief. And then in the next verse, the last verse, it speaks of them putting together this offering that they took and giving it to their best men, or two of their best men, Barnabas and Saul, and they were the messengers. They were the deliverers, taking the gift to the Jerusalem church. That's amazing to me, but really what this shows is a heart of compassion in the church, a heart of compassion. And if we're going to have a heart of a missions-minded church, then we're going to have a heart of compassion, just like this church. We see them having a burden for an entirely different church, and then taking love offering, I mean pulling their wallet out and pulling money out of their wallet to give to people that they probably had never met before, to encourage people who were going through something that likely they're going through too. And maybe they would have had needs, but they're not thinking about their needs. They're not thinking about what want they would have. They're thinking about the needs of somebody else. Now, what a heart that is. What a heart of a compassion. Let me say this evening that isn't often what people have. People don't often have a heart of compassion. People often have, in fact, the opposite of that. A heart of really just being money hungry. And not having an easy time giving. You know why pastors struggle preaching about giving? Because people struggle to give. It ought not be hard for a pastor to preach about giving. A pastor ought to be able to stand behind the pulpit and do a sermon about giving and about tithing and about being committed and compassionate and loving with our finances and with our possessions and with the blessings of God in our life, like he would be excited about delivering the message of the gospel, and not be worried about how the people of God are going to receive the message or get offended, or the pastor's always preaching about giving. He's always, you know, talking to us about, where our needs are and what the offerings should be and all this, or whatever it is that goes on in the minds of people. Is because, you know, when we're talking about money, what often happens is our money gets a hold of our heart. And because it has a hold of our heart, it affects our spirit. Amen. And we fall in love with our money, and then we have a hard time letting God have control of it. Right. Letting God be the one who decides, you know, what we will or won't give. And watch this. Because we're not so open with our finances. We're not so open with our possessions so that we would be, we're not so open that we would be willing to, I mean, actually just in complete and utter obedience give whatever God wanted us to give. Do you know what ends up going away? What we don't end up having because we have a spirit of not being open with our finances with God. Listen, what we don't often have is a spirit of compassion. There's a need. But because we're not open about it, here's what we think. Somebody else will take care of it. But we don't think about how it might be that God wants to use us to take care of a need that somebody has. Whether it's a ministry that's not connected to this one or a missionary on the other side of the world. That there's a need and our heart is so closed off so that we're not willing to be open with our finances. So that God says, get your checkbook out and write a check for this amount. Well, wait, God. We've been saving for a long time. And we have plans for that. And we have this vision for that. And God says, hang on a second. Aren't I the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? By the way, God says, aren't I the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth? Genesis 14. So literally everything you possess doesn't belong to you. If God is the possessor of heaven and earth, all of your possessions are not your possessions. They all belong to God. And so God says, listen, I've given it all to you. Why don't you be obedient, or at least be open to be obedient to me to do what I would have you to do with your possessions and with your finances? But I'm nervous to do that. But what if God, and then you fill in the blank. What if God asks me to, I don't know. But when we have that reservation, then we can't be compassionate. We lose the compassion. It's just not there. And we want to have the spirit of a missions-minded church. And we support 144 missionaries. Amen. And so because of that, you might say, we are a missions-minded church. And I would declare that corporately and for the most part, we are a missions-minded church. The reason why we're able to support that many missionaries declares that. But it doesn't mean that all of us in this room have the spirit of a missions-minded church. That we can't see with compassion the needs and be willing to be open and obedient as He desires to lead in that way. We had our mini revival. Brother King was here, and what a blessing he was. And we're just sitting in the office and we're talking about the ministry and we're talking about moving forward. And I'm excited about moving forward. I mean, we're seeing God's using God's people to give a little bit extra towards moving forward. And we're seeing that we talked about it with our trustees this morning. We're more than doubling up our payment on our debt retirement because of moving forward. And we're seeing this thing getting knocked out. And so I'm talking to Brother King about it and just excited about it. And I said, but you know what? We'll always be moving forward. I mean, even when the debt's paid off, praise God for that. You know, when the debt's paid off, it's not like, okay, we're not moving forward anymore. No, we're going to continue to move forward, like acquisition of other things. And it just happened to be that I was thinking about a bus. And so I just said, and like one day, maybe moving forward means we're going to get a bus. And I was a bus kid, and I have a burden for bus kids, and I'd like to see a bus go in this community and pick up kids with one of you being the driver and another one of you being the captain who goes and knocks on the doors like Miss Donna. And a third grade boy steps up behind a stepmom and says, I'll ride the church bus. And then we see that bus pull up in front, and all these kids start spilling out. And I didn't say all that to him, but I was thinking it, and it was a burden in my heart. And you know, Brother King, just out of nowhere, it's like it fell right out of heaven. He said, we have a bus. We'd like to give it to you. Oh, well, okay. Now, why would a pastor learn of a need of a church and then suddenly just decide that he's going to give that to that church? Because that's the spirit of a missions-minded church. You're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about how can we help another ministry? As a matter of fact, he said that years before, they had a van, and they were saving to get a new van, and God placed it on his heart to give the current van that they had to another ministry. And so he brought it to the church, and he said, I really believe God wants, this church has a need for a van, and I believe they have a greater need than we have, and I would like to give this van to that church. The church said, all of God's people said, amen. And the church just was in agreement and rejoiced, and standing at the door after dismissal, just one of the men of the church walked up to Pastor King and said, hey, Pastor, you know that new van we're looking at, the new transit van we're looking at? They had just given their van away that morning. One of the members of the church walked up, you know, how much do we still need for that? Oh, yeah, we need about $26,000. Oh, okay. Pulled out his checkbook. $26,000. Ripped it off, handed it to the pastor. Look what God can do. Amen. But the heart of a missions-minded church and a missions-minded pastor. What we need is to have a heart of compassion so that we would see the needs of our missionaries and to see the needs of other churches and ask God for compassion, and a compassion that comes from an openness, a willingness to be obedient to God. To say this, you know, I might not have much. I might not have much to give, but God, it's all yours. And I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's amazing how God uses compassion like that, even in the little things. I mean, even the little things. We were church planters. Where's Miss Melissa? We were church planters in Nebraska, and we were there, and it was hard. And especially earlier on, we were having a hard time just getting people interested in coming to church. And I remember one day, I got home from work, and on the front porch was this box. It felt like it was the size of this communion table here. I mean, it was big. I mean, a big box. I'm like, what is this box? And we looked on there, and it said, two Pastor Moore and family from, and it was a church in Lubbock, Texas. I'm like, oh, that's why it's big. It's from Texas. Like, I used to not like Texas, but I like Texas, I think. We carried that box in the house, and the boys were excited. Dad, what's in the box? What's in? Nah, we're going to wait till tonight. I mean, that's the worst. Whenever you know you have a gift or something, and Dad says you have to wait. Even if it's 2 hours, it feels like 2 weeks. And they're just standing around waiting so we can open the box. And finally, it was in the evening. We had everything ready. And I remembered, I didn't know what was in the box. I knew it was going to be good. I didn't know what it was. And I remembered it was just a normal box on the outside. But I remembered when we cut the tape, and then we opened the box, it just exploded out. So that there was all of these colors and streamers. And the inside of the box was wrapped with all this colorful paper. And it said boom and bang, like there was an explosion of gifts. And there was Nerf guns, and there were water guns, and there were all these toys. It was like endless toys. It was another toy, and another toy, and another toy. And my boys were just, they were just on cloud nine, running around, and just having the time. And I remember Melissa and I pulled, and seemed like it was all toys. I'm like, okay, I mean, I can shoot the kids with these. This is good. And I remembered, though, we pulled out a box, a smaller box, and we shook it, and it was like click, 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 click. It was more like a lot of clicks in there. I'm like, what is this in this box? This seems like it's something for Mom and Dad. And I remember we opened that box, and on the inside was gift cards. But it was piles of gift cards. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars of gift cards to restaurants and to Walmart and to all of these places. And you know, relative maybe to some of the other needs perhaps that we had, it maybe felt like a small thing, but you know what it wasn't? It wasn't a small thing in our life. It was something that God did in our life just in that moment. It was just what we needed. The encouragement, just what we needed. And it was a memory we'll never forget. You know, it was just a church that decided, you know what, there's missionaries, and they have a need, And maybe we could just write a check and we can send them a love offering, which we're okay with that too. But you know, why don't we just put together a big box and load it down with toys and put gift cards in there and just show this family how much we love them. That's the heart of compassion. Do you know what that box represented for that church? A missions-minded church. Because you know what this church is thinking about? Not themselves. They're thinking about their missionaries. They're thinking about a church planner who's on the backside of Nebraska, and they're working hard to just to get a couple of people to come to church and just trying to be faithful. And so they said, well, you know, maybe there's a little something we can do to be compassionate and loving, and God used that. It was like little things along the way God did just to say, see, I'm here. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep pressing on. I preached at a Spanish-speaking church. Boy, that was exciting. And I mean, it was frustrating, really, because I would, I'd get into it, you know, and I'm preaching, I'm going, and oh, I have to stop, because then he has to translate what I'm saying. It kind of loses a little bit, and I kind of muster it back up again so that I can keep going, you know. So I preach, and then he would preach it in Spanish, and it was like always a delayed amen. It's like they were never amening me. I was like, I'm preaching, I should be an amen there. But then he would do it and everybody would amen. I remembered at the end of that service, and it was a good time. It was a sweet spirit, just an amazing time. The pastor is speaking to the church completely in Spanish, and we're standing on the front row like just smile and wave, you know. We don't know what's happening. And then the pastor said a few things, and he looked over at us, and then the whole church looked at us, and they just started laughing. I'm like, are they making fun of my hair? What's happening right now? And they're just laughing. They know we don't know what they're saying, and they're laughing. And then he asked us to go to the back to stand by the door. And then suddenly, kids started walking up to us with piles of cash in their hand. Started sticking it in my wife's purse, sticking it in my pocket. $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $100 bills. More than $1,200 of cash crammed in the crevices of our pockets and purses and stuff. And we went home and it was like we just counted it and we were amazed. And we want, you know, as you're seeing, you know, you're seeing these families go by and they shake your hand and there's a couple of $100 in there. I mean, you're looking at this family and you're thinking, well, it feels like maybe this family is sacrificing to do this. You know, maybe this money that they're giving, wanted to give it because they had a heart of compassion. They wanted to be a part of. We're going through it, and we're struggling through it. And we're trying to live the life that God wants us to live. But we know you're the man of God. And we know you're wanting to go and be. People there are going to get saved. And we want to help you do that. That's. I'm just gonna let you have full access. Is this that you would say, God, I'll let you have control of all of it. So that I'm not going to hold on to my possessions because I love them. And you know what ends up happening every time when you have that spirit? If you came and surrendered yourself tonight that way, you know what would end up happening in your heart? You would start seeing needs. I wonder how we could be a part of this. Now, we don't have a lot. But we don't really think about how little we have, do we? Not when we have that kind of a heart. We more think about, how can I help? What can we do? Can we be a part? Even if it's a little, can we do something? That's the heart of a missions-minded church. That's the heart I want us to have. I believe we have this heart, but it might be that we're still holding on, not to our money, not to our possessions, but to the idea that God might ask for it. Just let God have it. Whatever you want, God. And He'll replace that love that you have for your possessions and money, He'll replace it with compassion. So you'll find out about a famine, a missionary who's famished and in a famine spiritually. And here's what you'll say. That missionary's going through it, Pastor. Is there something we can do? Can we send a box? I'll get a gift card. What can we do? Can we send them a love offering? That's the heart of compassion. Let me tell you this and then we'll be done. I heard of a woman in a church. I won't tell you details of this, but I know some details, but I'm just going to say there was a woman in a church. She lost her husband. And she was sort of left to raise all of these small children alone. And she was working and she was struggling and it was hard. She wanted to see these kids live for God, and they grew up and they surrendered to God, and many of them are in the ministry even now. But these years ago when they were small and she'd lost her husband and they're sitting in church and they're barely getting by, and what was in her wallet was the last of what she had for the groceries, and her oldest daughter knew it. The pastor stands up in behind the pulpit and he says to the church, "Church, there's a family in our church who has a need. And I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a great need. And I want to encourage you to pray about giving towards a love offering for that family. And so you pray about it, and we'll receive that offering here in just a little while." And this young lady, daughter of this mother, knew what mom was going to do. She knew her mom was going to give that last of the grocery money. She knew, and she was already frustrated about it. So when the offering plate came around, mom opened her purse. And she took that last of that grocery money out and stuck it right in the offering plate. Her daughter was furious, upset. Mom looks over at the kids and says, "Listen, we have it hard, but listen, kids, you need to understand something. There are people that have it harder than we do. And what we need to do is we need to trust God to take care of us, and we need to let Him use us to take care of others." Amen. What a testimony. You know, the pastor came up to her after church with a check in his hand. And all of that love offering was for them. Isn't that amazing? It's like, you know, God knows what our needs are. He knows what other people's needs are. And He knows how to take care of our needs. And He knows how to use us to take care of others' needs. So where do we need to be? A heart of compassion. Where does it come from that we would just give it all to Him? God, you're the Most High God. Do you know that's El Elyon? It's the first mention of El Elyon, the name of God, the Most High God. Genesis 14 in the Bible, it literally means the possessor of heaven and earth. So we say, God, you own it all. And I want to give it all to you so that you have access to it at any time. It all belongs to you. And just be open. And then what comes along with that? Compassion. He'll open your eyes. So when there's a need, compassion will come along. It'll be natural. And you'll say, how can we help? What can we do? My question is this. Do we want Western Hills Baptist Church to be a missions-minded church? Then we need to let God have it all. And say, God, you do what you will. We're just going to let you do it. You give us a heart of compassion and use us to be a help to other churches and missionaries. You know what I'd like to do one day? I'd like to have a pastor here. And just in conversation, he speaks of a need they have. And then I say, you know, we have one of those. And we would love to let you have it. Amen. Let's ask God to give us compassion.